and welcome you to the Edgewalker teleconference on September 20th, 2012. And so Jean Marie and Laura, great to have you on the call, and we're going to go ahead and start, and there may be others who join us in a little while. The topic for today is transformation, and Edgewalkers are all about their own transformation and helping the transformation of the world around them. And I wanted to read something that it really inspires me about transformation. You probably both know about imaginal cells. Oh, and we have Joe joining us. Joe, say hello.
Hi, Judy. Joe here from Cliffside Park, New Jersey.
Welcome. So, we also have on the call right now, Joe, we have Laura and Jean Marie.
Great. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
So I want to start with a little bit longer reading than I would normally do, but this is about imaginal cells, which is like the biology of transformation. It's a wonderful example of transformation. And before I start that, transformation, in, by my definition, and a definition that I see used popularly, means a complete change of state of being where you can't go back to the previous state of being. So one example that's used is if you take a look at water, water can change rather than transform. It can change to steam and it can go back to water. It can change to ice and it can go back to water. It can change between these different forms, but it can always go back to the form it was before. So that's called change. Transformation is different, and that's really like the caterpillar to the butterfly. The butterfly cannot go back to being a caterpillar. It is at a different state of being, a different vibrational level, just a really major shift in its essence. And I found this on the internet, and I'm going to post this to the edgewalker.org website because it's a wonderful summary of imaginal cells and how that's such a metaphor for what's happening in the world today. The title of the article, and it's just like six paragraphs I'm going to read, Imaginal Cells and the Body Politic. And I don't know who wrote it. I just happened to find it Googling around. Here's the article. When a caterpillar nears its transformation time, it begins to eat ravenously, consuming everything in sight. It's interesting to note that individuals are often called consumers, and one of the largest manufacturers of heavy construction machinery is called Caterpillar, Inc. The caterpillar body then becomes heavy, outgrowing its own skin many times until it's too bloated to move. Attaching to a branch, upside down we might add, where everything is turned on its head, it forms a chrysalis, an enclosing shell that limits the caterpillar's freedom for the duration of the transformation. Within the chrysalis, a miracle occurs. Tiny cells that biologists actually call imaginal cells begin to appear. These cells are wholly different from caterpillar cells, carrying different kinds of information, vibrating to a different frequency, and it's the frequency of the emerging butterfly. At first, the caterpillar's immune system perceives these new cells as enemies and attacks them, much as a new idea in science, medicine, politics, and social behavior are viciously denounced by the powers now considered mainstream. But the imaginal cells are not deterred. They continue to appear in even greater numbers, recognizing each other, bonding together, until the new cells are numerous enough to organize into clumps. When enough cells have formed to make the structures along the new organizational lines, the caterpillar's immune system is overwhelmed. The caterpillar body then becomes a nutritious soup for the growth of the butterfly. When the butterfly is ready to hatch, the chrysalis becomes transparent, much as the internet is making many hidden actions transparent. The need for restriction has been outgrown, yet the struggle towards freedom has an organic timing. Were the chrysalis open too soon, the butterfly would die. As the butterfly emerges, It opens its right wing and its left wing and then flies away to dance among the flowers. The awakening of the global heart results from the transforming the body politic from the unconscious, over-consuming gloat of the caterpillar into a creature of exquisite beauty, grace, and freedom. This coming-of-age process takes us to new mythic reality, a larger story ripe with meaning and direction. It takes us from the naive egocentricity of childhood into a larger reality of independent reciprocity. It is not a passage that ends in the gray grimness of adult responsibility, denying the colorful spirituality of childhood innocence. Rather, it is a reclaiming of the wholeness that denies little and embraces all. The awakening of consciousness happens first in individuals. It's a shift from the third chakra, ego-based consciousness, to fourth chakra, relational consciousness, a shift from I to we. It is a realization that we are in this together, that we are interdependent, integral agents, part of the larger unity that needs each of us as individual agents. This awakening could result from spiritual practices such as yoga or meditation, psychotherapy, workshop experiences, disenchantment from one's, quote, normal, unquote, life, or any manner of doorways through which we awaken from the trance of consumption and exploitation to a higher vision of perpetual reciprocity, compassion, and unity. At first, such individuals might feel alone or isolated. They might be misunderstood or even attacked by others for their strange ideas. But these individuals find others of like mind. They are strengthened and reinforced. They feel less alone, more empowered, and inspired. They literally vibrate at a higher frequency. They catalyze each other. This is how the imaginal cells come together, organize amongst themselves, and become centers of awakening in the new body politic. So that's what we're trying to do in this Edgewalker community, because Edgewalkers are the imaginal cells. They're different from the normal mainstream and yet have a foot in the world, are very functional and can operate in the materialistic world, but just really aren't into the consumption and the egocentric way of living. Edgewalkers have a larger vision. They want to make a difference in the world beyond just themselves. And so I love this image of imaginal selves, because so many of us in our own work and our sense of calling have felt like we're the only one. We felt like we were alone. And yet we're clumping together. We're finding each other and reaching out and forming structures and hoping in our own small ways, each of us, to build something that others can be attracted to and can be a part of and help this larger shift happen. So I wanted to share that with you as we start our conversation about transformation. And so I had just a few basic questions for our conversation today. And the first one is, what does transformation mean to you? And then to invite you to share transformative experiences that you personally have had, if you want to talk about some transformation that you've gone through. And then also a question about what might you be doing to create transformation for others. So the floor is open, or the phone lines are open. Who'd like to go?
Well, Judy, I'll jump in. It's Laura.
Okay, Laura. Thank you.
And I'm hearing some noise on the line. I'm wondering if there is a mute instruction that you could share with us.
Yeah, there's Joe, you had some background noise. So
I have. Judy, I'm in a car. I had a robbery that occurred in Buffalo. So I'm in a car trying to charge my phone. So that's what you're probably hearing right now.
Oh, my God. You were robbed?
Yes, I was.
I'm so sorry. Oh.
Well, So am I. More than and you talk about transformational, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, well, let Laura go, and then maybe you want to say something about this transformative experience.
All right, I'll turn the car off, because I'm in the car trying to charge the phone.
There's usually like a *6 or something, somebody you can press to mute your phone.
Is that better?
See, I can mute him, and I think it's *5
okay.
that would allow you, Joe, to raise your hand.
Sorry. I turned the car off. I don't know how long the battery will last.
Well, we want your battery to last, so maybe we should have you turn the car back on, and I can put you on mute. And this is a new service I'm using, so I don't know exactly how it works. But let's just do a quick experiment.
I will go. I have about 2 there, so it may make it through the hour. Okay.
Okay, if you see that it's getting low, just let us know, and
okay.
then I can mute you.
Yeah, right.
Okay, or actually, Laura was saying you could hit *6, and that would mute you, and then you can have your phone on, your car
okay.
on. Okay?
Okay.
Beautiful. See, there's cooperation in action right there.
And more than one solution.
Yeah, and Joe, best wishes as you traverse this life experience that's happening for you right now. Well, Judy, as you know, because I've shared with you, that conference where I met you back in 1995, the transformative spirit of service, to me was my first experience of transformation for myself, because I came back changed like the butterfly, like I couldn't go back. I've often referred to it with people as, you know, I saw the 3D picture and the magic eye picture, and I could never go back to just accepting that it was only a flat 2D image. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah, so even though some people can't see those 3D images, and so they'll debate with you that that's really not so, you know that you've seen it, or I know that I've seen it and I couldn't go back. And that was one of my first experiences of just in my heart feeling so connected to a bunch of imaginal selves being the other human beings at that conference, because I did feel we had come together to explore something new and to create something new. So I'm grateful that I had that experience to sort of anchor in that feeling. I love the imaginal cell analogy, and I have a illustration of a chrysalis in my bedroom alongside a crystal butterfly that was given to me recently as a symbol of transformation. What's happening in my life, I think, is very symbolic of what's happening for a lot of people and what's happening in the world, as you were describing, in that everything's shifting for me. I think I'm that caterpillar. I'm in the molten stage, I think, or maybe just past, where I've formed the wings, but I'm still in this transparent little cocoon that is about to open up so that I can fly. But first of all, my body has transformed. I've lost 40 pounds in the last 6 months.
Wow, congratulations.
My relationship of 7 years has transformed. We're still friendly, but we are acknowledging that we're not lovers and not life partners, and David has moved out of the house in the last month. My main work, which for the last several years has been teaching voice lessons, usually I have about 16 voice lessons at the start of a semester, 16 students. This year I have 3. And other part-time jobs have fallen away. So this month I find myself in a real deficit income-wise. Not that it hasn't been a struggle over the last few years with the economy happening and this and that, but this is the first month where it's like I have to just surrender and put my feet to the floor, and really I'm feeling this calling to finally step up and do the great work, which I've dabbled in and then run away from. But it's like the universe is conspiring to help the cocoon open and urging me to dry off those wings and fly finally. So I was really drawn to this call because I feel it in my own life, and I know my friends are feeling it because I've had discussions with them, and I'm really interested in connecting back with you, Judy, and your friends that you've gathered on the Edgewalker Walk to explore this more. Just real briefly, and then I'll turn it over to somebody else, but my inner calling right now is to take everything I've learned, everything I've amassed in the world of business, personal effectiveness, coaching, and singing, Judy, I know you love that too, and blend it all into a coaching practice that is about life transformation for people and helping people navigate it with ease, grace, and joy, and using chants, customized chants that I help the client create to accelerate their own change and to create some comfort and peace around it. So that's the plan, and I have plans started in place and ideas for the new website, and we'll be putting out a call for pilot clients to my friends very soon, and that's the direction I'm heading.
Oh, Laura, that is so exciting. It's like, well, as you tell me your story, it's really so in alignment with the imaginal cell process. And
right.
You know, I really see you. When I met you, I saw you as a butterfly.
So there
must be something beyond butterflies that's happening for you. please tell people a little bit about your music and the shows you've done and your recordings. I'd like them to have just at least some sense of how talented you are and a way they could find out more about you if they were curious.
Oh, well, that's very sweet. Thank you. Well, I have a corporate background where I was working at an international consulting firm at the first part of my career, and am grateful for those skills that I amassed there. But then in the 90s, the late 90s, I followed my calling to explore my music more because I am a singer and a musical theater actress, and I began writing songs that were uplifting and encouraging and inspiring people to live their best life. I call it like Oprah music, you know. motivational messages wrapped in melodies is basically what they were. Excuse me. And so I have two CDs of those songs, and I have been singing them continuously at spiritual centers around the country. I still do that, mostly locally now, but I do sing most Sundays, and I also coach young people in musical theater, and that is a Mr. Holland's Opus kind of work that I'm feeling very fulfilled by, not financially fulfilled necessarily, but really soulfully fulfilled doing that work. And I've also facilitated women's groups throughout the years, which I have just found to be very empowering for women to express themselves, support each other, and traverse change together. So my website is undergoing change as well, but you can find me at lauraderocher.com. And Judy, I don't know, that's fine with me to leave it at that.
Okay, great. And Laura, when you do have that information about your offerings together, do let me know, and I will send that out to this group.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm sure there's some very willing people who would love to pilot what you're doing and help you with that.
Oh, thank you, Judy. That's a wonderful offer. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we were going to ask Joe. Joe, you were talking before, and are you willing to talk about transformation in the light of some difficulties you just had?
Yes, no, I guess. one of the things that came about is the emotional attachment. As I lost a couple of things, it was kind of interesting. Took my hairbrush, a camera that I didn't even open up and use, $200 worth of that. It's about $1,000, but what was interesting about the whole thing when I looked at it was just the emotional attachment. And what we're, you know, if you, I don't know if the word transformative comes into play here, But the idea was a realization of how important the emotional affect is there. And it was kind of interesting. I felt okay with it. I have no idea what this guy was going through. I mean, he made himself at home. And I went, okay. It was my mistake. I left one of the buttons open on the car, and probably looking at it, and also the realization of how we get lulled, kind of with comfortability. The street that I parked on, where my friend lived, very, very nice, absolutely fantastically beautiful, beautiful street. And surrounded by a lot of drug dealers and what have you. And I just didn't take the, I didn't make the constellation large enough. And I tried to be efficient. It was a big, I can't say transformative. It was just a big learning lesson. And for me, there are two words that come into being. One is transformation, the other is transcending. I don't believe in transcending. I believe in transformation because I believe in the return. And that is about the learning process. So I'm learning. So maybe this is a transformative moment for me. Some of the big things, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, Apollo 13, it is about the return. Wherever we go, we learn something. Do we take it back and really learn from our experiences, good, bad, indifferent? So that's where I'm at. And I think you know that the work I do, it really is about the return. People can go into situations, and in these situations, they will, if they don't take it back home, it won't make any difference. So my learning from this is the emotional attachment, and how can I see clearly beyond that? And unfortunately, it's one of those things. I look at it, so do I have any emotional attachment to the things that were taken? And there could have been other things in the car that could have been taken. I would have had emotional attachment. Cowboy boots that were probably, $500, didn't even bother. Shirts that, $50, $60 shirts, didn't even bother. Took stuff that isn't more, it was just very, very surprising as I look at it and going, so what did you take? Well, I'm trying to figure out the mindset of this person. Which I'll never, be able to do. But the transformation for me is the awareness. I'm not going to say transformation. The awareness is that how do we respond to a situation, and how much emotional attachment do we have to what goes on? How are we invested? And I think that's a big one. And I've talked to a couple of people within recent times of grieving and what have you, how important the parents are. We have a history, we have an emotional attachment, and it's all there. So, but for me, it's about the return. You can be transformed, and I go back to Jonathan with the team's Seagull. It's about the return. We see things differently, and how do we come back and really be effective with it? So that's where I'm at right now.
Oh, thank you. You're reminding me of now I've just forgotten his name, but he talks about the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell, journey.
Right. It's about the return.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That it's important to go, to leave what you know and go out into a world that's new on an adventure, and you learn things along the way, and you have challenges, and may even feel like you've lost yourself, and then you get a new awareness, a new awakening. And the journey isn't complete until you return and take that home.
Right. He talks about there are three, basically, is separation, initiation, and return.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about, that's why I don't use the word transcendent. It is more about it is about the return. And in the work that I do, I try to make sure that people, whatever you're doing here, it won't make a difference unless you take it back home. Now, we talk about all the gateways that people go through to get where you want to go, whether it be a conference. If, you know, your conference is coming up in November, correct?
Right.
All right. So for people to go to the conference, how many doors, how many thresholds has one crossed in order to get there? And, again, how many thresholds coming back? And the difference is that we will not go through the same doors, or we will go through the same doors and see them differently. And I think that is the learning there. And that what teaches us is basically to see something from a different perspective. That's where the learning is, and I think we need to take it home, and then we have to have the courage to follow up with it.
Well, and that's also what gives our lives purpose and meaning, is that giving back or passing on what we've learned from our own trials and tribulations and risks and adventures and discoveries. It's passing it on so that someone else gets the benefit of it as well.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Joe, please tell us about your labyrinth work. And Joe will be doing a workshop at our conference called the Mountain 10 Experience based on his innovation around labyrinth work and applying it particularly to business. So that's really transformative work that you do. I've attended stuff that you've done, Joe, and co-facilitated a couple of times, and just watching what that does for people and the learnings I've had from you as well. I love your three questions, for example, and I use those a lot in my life about what do you need to keep, what do you need to let go of, what do you need to add. Those, if you didn't have any other questions in life, those three questions can get you through a lot. And so just could you talk a little bit about your labyrinth work and the Mountain 10 Experience?
Very, very quickly, the lab work, and I call it a lab because it is a platform for what I call high performance. And the question is that I'm frequently asked, are there any walls in there? And my response is the only walls that are there are the walls that you bring in with you, because that's the emotional attachment. It goes down to just the removing everything from in front of yourself as quickly as possible to accelerate that process. It doesn't happen very, very quickly. It takes time. But the big thing is basically going through the emotional intelligence part, that is the letting go process, and very much like you mentioned Joseph Campbell, the letting go. What do we need to let go of? A separation. We go through this initiation to be in the center and to see. I don't call it the lab a 360. I call it a 720. And the reason I call it a 720 is because it is like the infinity sign, and it is about the return. It is about the return, and that is the big, big point. What did you learn in there? What do you need to do? And then the big picture really comes down to is how do you sustain it? You mentioned the cards. I deal with about 7 cards now, and I'm going to be doing some work with the University of Connecticut that I'm doing. But it's about 7 cards. You got to work the cards. These are navigational tools, and they have to be looked at approximately every 30 days. We look at each other and we go, so how do I learn? Am I going off course? Your weekly or your monthly teleconference is one of those things. What is it that I need to do? Where am I going? Am I off course, so to speak? So that is what the lab is about. It's a place, and I call it a lab specifically because it's a place for observation and testing. And then you come back out and you do the work. You go back in, and once you've experienced it, all you need to do is look at these cards. You know, what do you need to let go of? What do you need to keep? What do you need to add? What do you need to really continue? What do you need to do differently? You know, what habits have you formed that you need to change? And I'm trying to think of Tom Peters when I heard him on ASTD way back when. He said, change is easy. It's sustaining the change that becomes the difficult part.
Mm, yeah.
And that is where the cards come in and where the work that I'm doing comes in. It is about the sustainability of something. So.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Jean Marie will be at the conference, so
the
two of you will get a chance to meet. And both of you are on our conference planning committee. So you have a connection you didn't know about because Jean Marie has just joined us. So I'm really glad that you're going to get a chance to connect.
Those workshops are very interesting.
Judy, if I may add, I've looked at, as you know, we have done several things together. And for me, the transformational process, and this is why I'm on the line today, is about the return. You can transform something, but you need to come back. And as you mentioned, it is about this continual learning that we can bring a learning that we have seen. In the case of Jonathan Limiting Seagull, you go up there, you see something, now you need to bring it back to help other people go to a higher level. And it's tough stuff. You and I have gone into that discussion. It's very, very difficult at times. People go, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Yeah, that's the challenge of being an imaginal cell, is you've seen something that others haven't seen. And if you think you're the only one, then you're just crazy. But if there's other people who've also seen what you've seen and they're trying to help create the same kind of shift, and we can do it together, or at least encourage each other, because all of us have to do our own work. But if we can at least encourage each other and remind us that we may be crazy, but it's the crazy ones who do change things. Who wrote On the Road? He's got a wonderful thing about, here's to the crazy ones, the round pegs and square holes, the ones who are crazy enough to think they can change things. And they're the ones who do. And I'm not quoting him exactly, but it's like you've got to be crazy to think you're going to change things or to think that you might help create transformation. You have to be crazy.
Well, and one of the questions I do ask in some of the presentations that I do, how many of you have been called crazy?
Yep.
And the hands go up. The hands do go up.
Yeah, I think they would go up on this call, too. Oh, thank you so much, Joe. I really look forward to seeing you.
Same here.
Jean Marie, you want to chime in here?
I've certainly enjoyed hearing Laura's new exploits and her exciting things that she's looking forward to, and I congratulate you on your weight loss. That's something that I have not accomplished yet in my life. And, Joe, I'm terribly sorry to hear about your happening today, but I think how you're putting it in perspective is so important, and how things have different values, and thank God you're still here and able to, share with us today. So I look forward to meeting you in November.
Same here.
I guess for me, I think I'm still at the chubby caterpillar stage, not only physically, but I think where I'm at in life, I've taken many stabs at trying to make that metamorphosis to the person that I see that I want to be. And I think I had a big awakening 11 years ago when I was diagnosed with breast cancer and had three children, two in middle school and one in grade school. And it's like, I got to take care of myself and do what I need to do, or I won't be able to be a mother or a wife and go on and enjoy, a fulfilling life. Then a few years later, a girlfriend of mine who was going through breast cancer at that time invited me to join her at a woman's retreat in Provence, France. And that was a really wonderful experience. There was about five or six other women who attended, and we had a week-long program mixed in with French culture and just doing a lot of personal exploring, which was really fabulous for me. And when we did some meditation the symbol that came to me the strongest was a dragonfly, which I've always enjoyed dragonflies, so I thought that was interesting. But still, I think what I'm experiencing is what Joe's been talking about is, change is one thing, but sustaining it is another, and I think that's what I struggle with, you know, on a daily or yearly basis. How do I sustain the change that I want and that I see in myself and how, you know, I want to be? And I think that my husband recently got a position dean here at for one of the colleges at Arkansas, and I'm in transition from Vermont to Arkansas. And so when I saw this center that, you know, Judy is running, I was like, oh, this is so exciting. This is where, you know, I would like to be. And by profession, I'm a nurse. So spirituality and healing and healthcare really go hand in hand for me. And so I'm still trying to get to the point that I can bust out of my chrysalis. And I'm hoping, you know, now that I'm an empty nester and can really put more emphasis on my own life, that I can do some of the things that you all are talking about for myself. And in the meanwhile, if I can help anybody else along the way, I'm very proud and excited to, you know, be part, you know, of such a wonderful movement. So that's a little bit about me.
Oh, thank you so much, Jean Marie. And I see that Diane Williams just joined us. Hi, Diane.
Hi, I'm so sorry I'm late. I thought I'd just dial in and listen.
I'm so glad you did. It's okay to come in and anytime and leave anytime.
Oh, we have, thank you.
Yeah, that's absolutely. That's we have very fun. Permeable boundaries.
I love that.
Jean Marie, you said, let me just bring Diane up to date. I started out with a reading regarding imaginal cells and the transformation that a caterpillar goes through in order to become a butterfly. And so we're talking about what transformation means to us and transformations we've gone through and ways we might be helping others transform. And Jean Marie, you had said that you thought you were still in the caterpillar stage, and I'd have to say from knowing you just a short while that what it looks like to me is that you are very much in this chrysalis stage with the imaginal cells multiplying so fast that they are now taking over. You know, that reading said the imaginal cells turn the caterpillar's body into a nutritious soup that feeds the birth of the butterfly. And with your letting go of the place you lived and letting go of your children and letting go in some way of your former career and moving towards something else, all the letting go is a part of creating that nutritious soup that the imaginal cells can begin to grow, and it often just does not feel very good. It usually feels like an awful lot of loss, and yet it also tends to feel very necessary to someone who's going through that. It creates the space for something new to emerge, and you're already reaching out for that. It's almost like those wings, as Laura talked about, you know, are starting to, the right wing is moving and the left wing is moving, you know, you sort of by coming down here to Arkansas on a regular basis and making new connections and jumping into the Tyson Center for Faith and Spirituality in the Workplace with both, I was going to say feet, but I should probably say with both wings. You know, it just sounds to me very much like you are a long way through that transformational process, and you know, you may not see what the butterfly looks like yet, but you've got to be able to tell that's what's happening next. It must feel that way to you, I'd have to imagine.
Well, thank you, Judy. It's getting there, and I think that many times people arrive before they realize that, and I think it's the feedback and the encouragement from the community around that really makes a person feel more established. I think you don't necessarily come to that as a singular being. And I think an awareness of who we are and how other people see us can be two different things. And I think that's what you're describing now about me, where I feel like I'm just, you know, as the soup, you know, kind of all mixed up, and where it appears to other people like, wow, you know, she's doing this and doing that. So I appreciate the positive feedback and look forward to flapping my wings a little bit more as time goes on.
Yeah, you've got the kind of wings that could stir up a tornado in Japan, just, you know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, to use another metaphor.
Fall on the floor already. Don't do that.
I know, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, we don't need that.
if I may, and it's kind of interesting when we're talking about the transformation, one of the things with the lab, it is about the letting go process. What do we need to let go of? And one of the things that I'm doing is getting down from eliminating, letting go, getting down to letting, and then getting down to let. To let what needs to be coming toward you, to be open to that. And it is the openness of that transformational process. And where I'm going with this is way back when, somewhere along the line, the process of the caterpillar become a butterfly. And when you see a butterfly rolled up, starting to open its wings, there's a power to it. You cannot help do anything with that powder. Because if you take it away, that's part of their process. So it's almost like you need to let them evolve from where you are. And that becomes a learning lesson of letting go or let someone, yourself or anybody else, evolve into who they need to be. And like I said, it's that powdery stuff where the wings are. You're talking about the wings. There's powder there. That if you start taking the powder away, you will kill the butterfly, because it doesn't have that. The powder becomes kind of that little resistance, that texture that is needed for it to unfold. That just just a thought. And it is about, there's a roughness to our lives, and it is a texture that we need to go through. And in many ways, what we're doing in our century here is removing some of that texture, so that there isn't the grit that says, I know what it feels like. So that just a thought about transformation.
Oh, Joe, thank you so much. That's another layer of wisdom on the metaphor that we're working with. Thank you.
And
so,
Judy, I'd
Diane,
like to add on to that, if I may.
Oh, sure, Laura, go ahead.
Laura.
And then we'll have Diane speak.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Absolutely. So I've also read that, similarly to what Joe was just saying, you know, when the butterfly first emerges from the chrysalis, it has to pump its own blood from its body into its wings. It's a very laborious process, and even just the coming out of the shell is time-consuming and laborious for that creature. And, again, if you help it along, if you try to peel the chrysalis off of it, you will stunt that butterfly's growth and it will die. So it has. So the butterfly and we have to go through some of that labor pains, laborious process to get to that full expression so that we can fly. Also, Deepak Chopra addressed a crowd here in Ashland a few years ago and talked about the imaginal cells in the butterfly, and he said that scientists have found that the same cell structure that's in butterfly wings is what's in our human hearts. That it's almost like the divine creator, the overall creator of all of us, took that pattern and replicated it in our human heart and in butterfly wings. So I that's always stuck with me.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Wow. That is so beautiful and inspirational.
Makes us think, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's really profound.
Yeah.
Thanks, Laura.
You're welcome.
So, Diane, anything that you'd like to share around transformation?
Well, thank you so much for welcoming me so late. I apologize again. Really, I think truly for myself, transformation happens every day. I know we have big moments in our lives when we can remember certain events, and we also remember the not-so-nice times that are seemingly necessary to go through in order to get to those huge changes, to get through the challenges to the huge changes that we need to make. And I so appreciate the lady that was talking that said she's changing so much in her life. Perhaps, I don't know if she's moving or whatever, but so many things are changing. That is happening for me too in this moment. And there have been many in my life. I wouldn't bore you with all of them. But even the ones that were the most challenging have in some way blessed me so much. And I'll bet every one of us can think of a time when we were in the middle of a challenge or a transition and we were so despondent, perhaps, so down. And then when we got to the other side, when we got to the other side of the mountain, we were so blessed. Looking back, we knew why we had to go through that dark night of the soul, and that to arrive at this place of light and energy and strength and well-being, we had to go through that challenge to be the person that we are today. So transition is always good. It doesn't matter if it looked good at the time or not. It's always good in some way. So I don't know. Transition's a wonderful thing. And sometimes I go through them myself, kicking and screaming.
Well, I was going to say, with what I know about your life right now, which is not a lot, it sounds like you are choosing transformation.
Yes. Yes, you are so right. I do choose that. Sometimes I wonder why I choose so much.
You just picked up on something, Judy, when you the word choosing, and picking up on the conversation is just basically transformation is about choice. That each time we make a choice, there is a transformative act that takes place, because we're making a choice not knowing where we're going to go or what it's going to be about. And hopefully we're conscious and awakened about the choices that we make, and mindful of the choices that we make. So the word choosing, and the transformative process takes place every moment in our lives. And it is about the choices that we make consciously. And I can tell you from my standpoint of view, man, consciousness is not part of me. And I really try to adhere when Joe, is this a good, trying to be mindful of the choices I make, because it will have a transformative result. So.
Yeah. Well, and I do think that transformation can happen to people without choice, that there are outside things that can affect someone, like the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one or an opportunity for some new job, although that would take choice, to say yes or no to that. But there are things that happen to us that we didn't choose, that, and yet they do provide within them the possibilities of transformation, depending on choices we make and how we respond to that.
Well, I would agree with you, Judy, on that. But I would also like to add that subconsciously, deep down inside of us, there are things that are bubbling that say, this is what I want out of my life. Mm-hmm. And we're not totally, totally aware of that until things happen. From people, as you said, there are choices that are made for us, so to speak. And then said, I didn't really want to be a lawyer. I really wanted to work as a gardener. And suddenly the happiness of the potential who we are inside ourselves says, this is who I really am. And that's a big, big, big question for all of us. And I will speak for myself. My work with the lab allows me to be the artist and the architect that I've always wanted to be, and the musician. This is, I said, no, I don't want to do this, but this is what has come out. This is who I am. And I enjoy it. There are frustrating times that I've gone through, but I look back and I said, this is who I really am. This is where I can not only serve myself, but also serve others. And that's the beauty of that. So It
I
has
would agree
been
with Joe. I would say, you know, and even Joe's, your situation right now, Joe, where you've gone through this robbery, but you've come to this lesson in it about letting go of attachment. In my belief system, in my paradigm, what that says to me is your higher self or some aspect of you wanted that lesson to come through in some form, and it came through. Did your human ego choose to be robbed? Probably not. But your higher self, and I think when bad things happen to good people, even on a collective basis, I think on some level there is some tacit agreement and willingness to go through that on some higher level so that the unfolding can happen for everyone.
Very true.
Yeah, so maybe there is an element of transcendence within transformation. Earlier in the call, Joe made a distinction between transcendence, which I would describe as like to rise above, and transformation, which is to learn something and then bring it back to return. But I think that if we were to say the transcendent, whether that's God or higher self or cosmic consciousness or whatever name works for you, it is working in our lives individually and collectively if we pay attention and see the evidence of that. And Laura, what you're saying collectively, I mean, it's like collectively we're all in a lot of pain and angst and fear and anger about the economy and what's happened in the world and all the there's just a tremendous amount of negative events, even the weather. And you know, if we were to extrapolate from what you're saying, we could say, and we chose to live in this time. We chose to be here because there's something we can offer. It's part of our higher self.
That's my belief, Judy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you for, you know, paraphrasing that back so well.
It's a very helpful way to make sense out of, you know, when you move from the individual level, it makes sense that we choose events, we draw what we need for our own spiritual development, and then to extrapolate that collectively and say we're drawing something to us which appears to be a negative energy in many aspects of life right now.
Yeah.
And yet the dark happens before the light. I mean, I just really am so hopeful about the future because in spite of all the difficulties, it's kind of like, you know, how we were talking about the chrysalis gets transparent before the butterfly is born. Well, look at the transparency of the internet and the transparency of what our leaders say. I mean, people can't lie publicly anymore. They're always found out. And when we have the truth to operate on, then people can choose what's right and just, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
human nature to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we may be seeing dark times, but I think it's people operating out of the old assumption that they could keep secret and could mm-hmm. be egocentric and get away with it. And that just doesn't work in today's world anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Well,
and there has to be a deconstruction. I mean, the mm-hmm. caterpillar goes completely into a liquid state, amorphous, completely like blah state.
Yeah.
You know?
Loss of self.
Yeah, so there is a deconstruction and a letting go and a surrendering that has to happen. And I don't know if caterpillars feel any fear. I have no idea. But if we anthropomorphize them, I would say they probably do feel some fear when stuff starts to happen, you know?
Yeah, they've got this immune system that fights the imaginal cells in
right.
the beginning.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think for a caterpillar, if I were a caterpillar, my big concern would be how many shoes do I buy? Do I buy them all the same? Or I would just, that would be my difficulty, my conflict.
Laura, you and I have got to co-write a song called "The Caterpillar Don't Need No Shoes."
Right, the caterpillar can drop all the shoes off at Goodwill.
That's right.
Before it gets in the chrysalis.
That's right.
That's funny.
Well, I think that's a wonderful note to end this fabulous call on. Thank you all so much for participating and sharing. I've just really enjoyed this and been inspired and enriched by it, and I hope you have too. And
I have, Judy. Thank you for creating the container for us, and it was nice to meet you all.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank, yeah, same here. Judy,
go ahead, Joe.
I sent you an email about the room. If you can send me some information about the room size and what have you, greatly appreciate it.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay,
sorry I hadn't gotten back to you. I'll be happy to do that.
Okay, and I thank you for this conversation. I'm glad that I'm trying to figure out why I'm the only guy here on this call.
Think about it, Joe. Whenever I see you, you're always surrounded by women.
Thank you, Judy.
Okay,
blessings.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye.